You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We have a great conversation today, especially important and significant for where we are now, because Ken Cladouris is financial planner, but he's also a financial planner with a big interest in having the right mindset. So welcome to the Pilgrim on the 405, Ken.
Thank you. It's great to be here today.
Good. Tell us a little bit about what you have learned about the mental state and meditation and how that's helpful, especially today.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there is a lot of kind of chaos, especially in the messages that we receive and how we mentally, you know, react to that information. So spending the time personally over the last 4 years to really quiet my mind and understand what I wanted, and then having those conversations with other individuals, specifically around their financial planning, has just added that much more clarity to me, and also the importance for the individual to take the time to really understand what they want, what they're trying to achieve, and then move forward from there.
So tell me a little bit about your practice of meditation, and what kinds of tools do you use to move into this place of calm and flow and peace of mind?
Yeah. So I've tried quite a bit of different techniques, and I'm actually going to start creating some new content just around that specific topic for how individuals can kind of move forward and develop their practice. So for me, you know, I kind of jumped in with both feet and really just got into it. So I'd started just by reading a lot of like the Deepak Chopra books and a couple of the other ones in that space. And then from there, I started doing transcendental meditation, which was kind of really big maybe 50 years ago.
Right.
And it's kind of come full circle. And I was lucky enough to have a TM center within a mile of my house. So I went there, had a great instructor, learned that practice, and have maintained that for about 4 years now.
And how did that impact your business?
Oh, it's had an exponential impact on my business. So because so much of what we do has to do with how we feel about ourselves and our mental state, especially for those people that in sales or just trying to influence, right? And so if you feel good when you come into your meetings and you just have clarity around what you're trying to achieve, when that everything is aligned, people can feel your authenticity, you make better decisions. I found that you get into flow states better and you just start being extremely productive.
So tell me a little bit more about what you mean by flow state.
So through this meditation, I started doing practice with Stephen Kotler. So for those that know Stephen Kotler, he's a New York Times bestselling author, has a company out right now that teaches flow. And so what it is basically you, without getting too technical, because I'm not an expert in it.
Right.
Basically, you're getting to near perfect decision making. And you become 5 to 10 times more productive with your time because you're hyper-focused on what you're trying to do. So that way you can get through it even faster.
Well, tell me about Stephen's program. Stephen Kotler, what's it called?
It's called the Flow Genome.
And
there's the Flow Research Collective. And so I've actually taken two of his courses. The first one was through Mind Valley, which was specifically on kind of just getting the education around flow. So that way you could understand it and take it from subconscious to conscious. And then after that, I took his course, which was called Zero to Dangerous. Phenomenal course. Came with coaching, daily practices, and really it just created that habit of stacking motivators. So you could get into flow faster and create that much more change and impact.
Well, I've been following Stephen Kotler for 4 or 5 years through his work with Peter Diamandis. with he writes Peter Diamandis's books along with Peter, and I think one was Abundance.
Yep.
That was the first one, and then after that was the one that just got published, The Future is Faster Than You Think. And I just found that Stephen was so inspirational and so focused on what he wanted to accomplish, which is to help other people get into flow. So now, is flow a central part of what you would like, what were you proposing that people do with, when you talk about moving out of the fight, flight, or freeze responses, is flow a path for doing that?
I think in flow training, you learn that fear inhibits your ability to make good decisions,
mm-hmm.
because you lose that creativity and the synapses don't fire across. And so with that, you really have to fight or flight, right? But if you can limit the amount of fear, then you make better decisions. And so that would be a byproduct of flow.
Okay. Now what's the relationship of meditation to flow?
So meditation can actually help you get into flow, and it's one of my flow triggers.
Mm.
So part of my flow practice includes meditation.
Mm. Okay. All right. Now, so do you recommend that, what do you recommend other people learn to meditate? Do you recommend that they get involved with Zero to Dangerous, the Stephen Kotler's program? How do you interact with your real estate customers? What do you tell them?
I guess it depends on what the customer is trying to do.
Uh-huh.
But I think that meditation specifically could be a central part of kind of everybody's life. So I'm studying right now under Deepak Chopra, and his vision is to have 1 billion meditators.
Ah.
So if I can help him work towards that goal, I think it really has a profound impact on a person's life. And so whether it's TM, the Chopra centers, or other types of meditation, really just getting the stillness and clarity that comes from that is of utmost value.
So when you say you're studying with Deepak, are you going down to his, is it in San Diego where he has his center?
Yes, the center was basically in La Jolla at La Costa, and they closed it last year. So, but before that, I'd had the opportunity to do 3 events with them at the center. And their signature event is actually A Week in Silence. And I was able to do that 2 years ago, and we'll be going back in late October, early November to do my 2nd week of silence.
Well, now back to La Jolla.
So they actually do all retreats now offsite. So 2 years ago we did the week of silence in Pebble Beach.
It's
a great spot to spend a week in silence.
Right.
And at the end of this year, we're going to Yosemite.
Oh, very nice. Well, sort of the, it's sort of the week of silence within the 2 months of staying at home, right?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I talk to a lot of people, and I've had a couple people ask if I'm practicing silence now. And while I would love to, it's not the right time because, you know, in crisis, when you are working with people, you need to be communicating more than normal. And so the ability to step away right now isn't there, but I'm really looking forward to it later.
Do you find that lots of people you talk to are frightened right now?
I think it's mixed reviews. I've talked to a lot of people that I would say early on, there was a lot of fear. And as we've moved forward, you know, as long as they don't watch news all day long,
right?
They're becoming more positive.
Well, I mean, that's what I find with my clients. They're all doing well, and I have not experienced any fear from any of them through the whole process. And you know, we get down to some pretty nitty gritty pieces in our entrepreneurial operating system, our EOS conversations. Mm-hmm. And but they are not afraid. Sometimes they are. I wouldn't even say confused. I would say sometimes they are. They're looking for what to do next. They're looking for what's coming. But there's an anticipation. There's a problem-solving mentality that they have. I wonder what meditation would do to help them with problem-solving.
Yeah. Well, so I think it's great that none of your clients are really in fear.
Right.
I guess it's depending on the industry they're in, right? It kind of changes. So.
Well, it may be that I'm not in fear. And maybe. So when they're with me, it's like I wouldn't even know what to do with that if you were in fear, because there's, to my way of thinking, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Right. I agree. Right? Yep. So, but to answer your question, so meditation, in my opinion, increases your creativity. And when you have problems that you need creativity to solve, having increased clarity and creativity together give you opportunity to solve that in probably a way you didn't think possible when you were in the problem.
Well, one of the things that I just finished yesterday, I just finished working with online with Stephen Kotler's partner, Rian, and it was completing the 6-unit course on distraction and how to eliminate distraction. And I went through and followed his instructions pretty precisely. And today's the first day that my phone's not ringing off the hook because it's silenced. I'm not spending a lot of time looking at all my emails, and my Slack channels are all shut down, waiting for the time this afternoon when I'll take a look at them. And I find that I've got a lot more time.
Right. I mean, when you can be diligent on scheduling and mm-hmm. keeping the distractions to a minimum, that's when you really can get into flow, right? And then just create those exponential changes.
Yeah. Well, all right. So do you see changes in your clients? Are you helping your clients to adopt some of these techniques?
So I've incorporated the conversations into kind of my planning process.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes to planning, kind of I mentioned in my book, Get There, you know, we talk about how individuals will go out and talk to friends and they'll talk about finances and things, and they get a lot of kind of diverse information.
Mm-hmm.
And they like to talk about whatever's on the news right now, like, oh, should I invest in Amazon today because they're doing great, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, you can't just pick the hot topics. You need to have a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can get clear on your vision and what you're trying to achieve, that helps the financial planning process
mm-hmm.
to create alignment between your actions, your finances, and trying to get to where you're going. That way, you know, when markets like this happen and there's a pull down and pull back, instead of being, you know, engrossed with fear, you can come at it from a different angle and say, okay, here's where I'm trying to get, you know, I'm 10 years away. What can I do today to continue to move that direction
mm-hmm.
to course correct today? Because we know that the markets are going to move. So what are we doing today to get to where we're trying to go?
All right. So do you have a sense of help? I mean, do you help people get a clear picture of what their 5, 10, 15, 20-year goal is?
Yeah. Right. So we do short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm creating a course right now specifically to help people outline their vision statement for themselves
mm-hmm.
and kind of extract their core values
mm-hmm.
so that they can get a deeper understanding of themselves and what they're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. And then what I do with companies is help them, once they have identified what their major goal is, where they want to be, sometimes it's 5, 10, 15, 20 years, then what's the 3-year picture? What's that look like just short 3 years from now?
Yeah.
And that really helps those visionaries in the organization to get their vision out and make it technicolor rather than just running around in their head. But that gives us the chance to look at then what do we need to do in the next year to move toward that 3-year goal? And once we're clear on that, then what needs to happen in the next 90 days?
Exactly. Right. And I feel like so many people take that philosophy in business, you know, working with an individual like yourself to really get clarity around their business, mm-hmm. but they forget to translate that into their personal life as well and get that same type of clarity around their personal finances, their personal goals, what they really want their whole life to look like. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to do, is get them that same level of clarity for the individual.
Well, I wonder what's really helpful for me in the EOS practice and working with people is when they recognize that most of the all of the problems that they're experiencing in their business are really tied to six key competencies. I mean, getting really clear on your vision, sharing with all, getting the right people, the right seats, getting clear on the data comes in regularly, being able to solve issues in a very effective sense. It's going to be efficient, not take a lot of time and not put it off, but actually deal with them. And then look at the processes that I go through, and then finally traction. But once we help them to understand those six key competencies are what make a business work. Do you have a set of, you've read Traction, so that's familiar to you. So do you have a set of key competencies that somebody who is in the financial market that they should have personally?
I mean, it's kind of similar to everything you just described, but you know, everybody has a different path mm-hmm. and a different past, which kind of dictates how they feel and their relationship to money, what they think is possible. So we really go through, again, creating that vision statement and then setting those short-term and long-term goals. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think most people underestimate what they can achieve in their lifetime.
They underestimate or overestimate?
They underestimate.
Really? Yeah.
For the motivated that are, you know, goal-centered, really, you can achieve a lot, right? If you just set your mind to it and get moving. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you've seen your clients, once they get that clarity with the EOS system, their business really takes off. And they're like, wow, like, why didn't I do this sooner?
Mm-hmm. Well, the system is moving from one or two people doing everything to having a leadership team. And I wonder if that's, you know, and that's a big shift for visionaries, what we call visionaries, to begin to share their vision and share the responsibility and to be open and honest with people. You get that clarity, but also get that transparency. I wonder if part of that I wonder if it's true that for individuals developing a leadership team for their life, I wonder if that's part of it. I mean, a financial planner, having an attorney, having a, you know, health advisors. I wonder if that's really a big shift for people. Do you find that true, that coming up with a set of advisors around me where I'm not doing it all myself? You find that true?
I 100% agree with that. So the clients that have good relationships with their attorneys, their CPAs, financial advisors, and we're all on the same page, if there's more communication and things don't get lost or missed. And so the client knows I can focus on what I do best mm-hmm. and my team is supporting me here. Mm-hmm. Right? And then most of them also have, you know, personal trainers, coaches, right? They know that they need that accountability and support in all aspects of their life. Mm-hmm. So they put the team in place to just support them moving forward.
Well, so tell us about your book, Get There.
Yeah. So I wrote the book about 3 years ago now. And, you know, so many people say that they want to write a book and it's in their head and then they never get to it. Mm-hmm. And so through my meditation and just practicing kind of flow and things, I was able to write the book in about a year. And I was super happy because I was like, oh, only been a year. It's going to be great. Done. Had no idea that it was going to be another year of editing. The book kind of outlines what I've kind of already described, right? Is really creating that vision for yourself, getting an understanding of what you're trying to achieve, and then setting the 1, 3, 5 year goals and longer, plus an action plan and accountability today, so that you know whether you're on course or not. Mm-hmm. And if you find that you're veering off, you know, whether deciding, yes, my vision is still my vision and I need to course correct, or maybe as you got closer, what you thought was your vision is now changing because of life events. Mm-hmm. And your destination's changed, and being able to do that and then redirect.
So how did you go about writing this book? Was it just you sitting in your room typing away? Did you have a group of people to talk with? Did you have a writing coach?
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of support teams.
Yes.
So I actually worked with a writing coach through the whole writing process. So I really wanted to take the time to write the book myself, made sure it was authentic to what I believed, and, you know, had my voice. So I worked with the writing coach for the year and got through that.
And then the editing, how did that happen?
Yeah, you know, people fall into place when you need them. So my writing coach had a couple different editors, and, you know, I got to kind of interview both of them. I ended up picking one that was in Georgia, and him and I, you know, worked together through the year and really just cleaned it up, made sure that everything was not perfect, because I would have never released it. Right. And so, you know, we got a good relationship, and then I hired a team to help with the marketing and develop the, you know, content around the book. And then, you know, we released it in September of, I think it was 18.
Mm-hmm. And so, have you had good sales?
Yeah. I mean, I've been happy with the book, uh-huh. You know, but I've gotten the feedback, you know, when I go into kind of goal setting and vision, that I didn't take enough time really helping the reader extract that information and really digging it out. So that's why I'm working on courses now that'll really go deep into those kind of topics. So that way, if the reader gets to that kind of impasse and they need more support, that I have that available to them.
So tell me, when you talk about courses, what does that mean? How is the course going to be delivered?
It's going to be an online course.
Uh-huh.
So I think everybody, now that we've been locked down a little bit, is getting more comfortable with online courses. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working on creating that right now.
Do you have you picked out a platform that you're going to use to deliver it?
I am testing two different platforms right now.
Which ones?
I'm looking at Thinkific and Kajabi.
Kajabi's a very good one. Yeah. Excellent. Well, yeah. All right. So, what would you say your focus is? What is your core focus for your business? But you don't have a huge number of people. It's really you and your partner, right?
Yes, so me and my partner are kind of the, you know, we're the ones that go out and meet with clients.
Right.
We have a support team behind us to do due diligence and operations. But when it comes to speaking to a client and really getting to know them, their goals, and what they're trying to achieve, mm-hmm. It's me and my business partner.
So what is your core focus as a business? What are you aimed at doing?
Ideally, we're helping people reach their goals.
Okay.
But our core competence would really be in tax managed investments, mm-hmm. as well as 1031 exchanges for individuals looking to really exit their real estate portfolio and the day-to-day management, but they don't want to pay the tax. So they do the 1031 exchange to defer that.
Well, all right. So help us to understand, a 1031 exchange is when you own a property. And rather than sell that property, use the 1031 exchange program to exchange your property for another property. I mean, you sell yours through the 1031 exchange and then buy another property. And what you're really doing is deferring the taxes, right? I mean, you're pushing it off to where you finally decide to exit the whole real estate market. So how are you helping? What does this mean to help somebody? I mean, how do you avoid a tax if you don't buy another piece of real estate?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that it's possible to do a 1031 exchange and not actually have to buy a direct piece of real estate that you own and manage. So as I mentioned, like, you know, we really work with our clients to create their vision. And as most of our clients get older, you know, the idea of collecting rent checks and dealing with tenants or anything for that matter really isn't their top priority, right? It's vacations, spoiling their grandkids, you know, whatever it might be. And so they really just want to defer their tax for the benefit of their heirs so they get a step up. And in the meantime, collect income. And so we have a solution where, you know, the investor can sell their real estate, do the 1031 exchange, and buy a trust through us, and it qualifies for the exchange, and it will provide them with, you know, the potential for monthly income.
Well, now, is it the same property they had before that is transferred into the trust?
No. So they actually sell their real estate, and then we work with them to find the best mix of real estate portfolios that work for them and their need for their exchange, and then move forward with new properties.
But it has to be a new piece of real estate in the trust.
Correct. So, but for most of the offerings that we use, you know, think, you know, instead of having your little, you know, duplex or maybe your building that you operated your business out of, you're exchanging into, you know, a 300 unit Class A apartment building.
Now, so, all right. Now, is that a unique trust that's unique to that person, or is it something like a REIT?
So it could be similar to a REIT, but a REIT doesn't qualify for a 1031 exchange. So this specific entity structure does qualify.
Now, is this something you and your partner created, or is this something that's generally used around the country?
So it's not generally used. So due to the regulations of the structure, you can't do general solicitation or anything like that for the investment. So it is reserved specifically for accredited investors. So when, you know, most of our clients are accredited investors, so they tell us, you know, we own this piece of real estate, we're trying to do this, and that's how we work with them.
Excellent.
But, but it's $1 billion industry, so it's not some fly-by-night thing no one's ever heard of. Real companies managing real estate.
So if someone were to come to you and say, you know, I'm really struggling with the constraints that the coronavirus is putting on me, and I'm not really clear about what's going to happen in the future, and I'm nervous about that, what might be some steps they could take to manage their mental health or their mental well-being in general?
You know, I think daily routines and sticking to your routine that you had pre-coronavirus is extremely important. So whatever you were doing before, whether it was yoga, meditation, walks, you know, if you went to SoulCycle, you know, whatever it might be, being able to continue that regimen will keep you in a positive mindset, you know, and limiting the amount of news that you watch. I know so many people that just keep the news on in the background, and they're just constantly hearing that negativity, and whether they're conscious of it or not, it has an effect on them. So
that does seem to be the way the media works these days, is somehow helping to be afraid enough to need to come back and keep listening to more. It's almost an addiction to fear, right?
Yeah. You know, and then we talked about earlier, you know, in flow and other things, you know, being in a state of fear decreases your ability to make decisions.
Well, so, I mean, there are things to be afraid of. I mean, if I'm walking out in the street and I didn't see the car that's coming at me, that kind of fear is reasonable. But an addiction to fear, I'm going to keep watching pictures of people get hit by cars, hoping that I won't. I mean, that can be very disorienting.
Yes. You know.
All right. So maintaining a structure, maintaining a schedule. Now, if I haven't really done, if somebody hasn't done meditation, they really haven't looked into yoga, things like that. What would you suggest? How would they start on this path?
You know, there's a lot of free apps, YouTube channels, and different resources available, you know, to really help an individual kind of move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right now you can't go to a TM center and learn a mantra and sit there for 4 days. But you can get the Calm app, you know, download it to your phone, and it just has, it'll ease you into the meditation practice.
The Calm app, C-A-L-M, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Good. All right. So what would you like to say to people right now in the midst of a stay at home, thinking about letting people out? What would you like to say to them right now?
I mean, I would say it's going to be okay. Let's stay positive. Let's move forward. Things might not be exactly the same as they were before, but we will adapt and we'll find ways to make things better going forward.
Great.
And so, you know, I've used this time, you know, to do some courses with Stephen Kotler, the Chopra Center. I mean, there's so much online content while we're still in lockdown, mm-hmm. that if you have an interest or want to learn more about something, everybody has a resource available right now that you can use.
Right.
So, you know,
If somebody wanted to follow up on this and get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Yeah, so you could go to kenkladoris.com. That's kenkladoris.com. Mm-hmm. And all my contact information is there. Or you could go to platinumwealthgroup.com, and that'll be all the wealth management and 1031 exchange information.
Excellent. Well, Ken, this has been really, really helpful and interesting. I'm fascinated to find a fellow traveler with regard to Flo and Stephen Kotler and people there. So I look forward to further conversations with you about that.
I do as well. I have a little Flo collective here.
That's right. Well, this has been a wonderful experience and just another example of how businesses in California, even in the midst of constraints with the virus and anxiety about the future, businesses in California can and do thrive.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.